Between the Lines on ESPN Ithaca and the ESPN Ithaca app. Nick Karski with you here on this Tuesday. If you picked up the latest edition of Tompkins Weekly at newsstands everywhere and at TompkinsWeekly.com, you may have come across a story from Stephen Daly of Ithaca Vintage, who gave his appraisal of an original Sports Illustrated inside the ESPN Ithaca offices. It was a really cool thing to look at and find out a little bit more about the history of it, the value of it as well. And Stephen obviously has a really diverse range of things that he appraises over at Ithaca Vintage, things that he looks at and maybe gives you value on as well. And he joins us here inside the ESPN Ithaca studios. And Stephen, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it. So let's talk a little bit about, first of all, what an appraiser is. I mean, because some people might not even have an idea of what you even do.
Sure. So I'm a personal property appraiser, which is different than a real estate appraiser. You know, a real estate appraiser, they need a license and it's a very kind of regulated industry. Personal property, there's no license. So anybody can really call themselves a personal property appraiser. So you have to be careful. There's a lot of people who own like an antique shop or, whatever kind of business, and they're looking to buy your things, and they're also going to then get you to tell them what they're worth. Mm. And that seems kind of muddy to me. So I don't buy things. For insurance, for a will, for an IRS donation, if you need something like that and you've got something valuable and you want it protected, you should get a professional, independent, qualified personal property appraiser, because they'll give you an appraisal that'll stand up to an investigation or anything that you need.
Sure. So we'll get to some of the fun stuff here in just a second, but I do want to ask, how much fun do you have doing what you do? Because I'm sure there's been some really cool, unique things that you've encountered and have experienced in your time doing this.
It's a lot of research, and it can be, kind of dry, but a lot of times, you're right, there's fun stories. There's a lot of really neat historical items that you come across, items from the area, sports memorabilia, entertainment memorabilia. I've come across some great things, great collections of, photographs of great jazz musicians and historical letters written by Alexander Hamilton. I did an article about that a while back. Yeah. And you just never know what you're going to come across. It is pretty interesting. Going through people's houses, it's a very intimate thing a lot of times. It's someplace where people have died. The family needs somebody to come through and look through their things. And I feel really privileged when I get that opportunity to go through and help a family find out their stories of their family through the things that are left behind, Yeah. And so it can be really rewarding. It can be really interesting. But there's also a lot of research involved.
So I believe that in a heartbeat. All right, well, let's dive a little bit deeper into a few items of sports memorabilia.
Because we're
a sports radio show, why not go in that direction? So here at the office, you kind of stumbled upon, I don't know if it was you who initially noticed it, or maybe it was our GM, Todd Mallinson, who has the first Sports Illustrated ever published. It is in a frame, and it's always been hanging on his wall, and I've noticed it for a long, long time. Was it something that you saw, and you were like, hey, let me look a little into this, or was it something that he went to you, and what do we know about it?
I'd like to claim credit, because I do. I'm notorious for, like, scanning people's walls.
Seeing what's up there.
I go to people's houses for dinner, visit folks and things, and it's just wired in me to, check out all the things that are around everything. But Todd pointed it out to me, and I had noticed it. And honestly, I've done a lot with old magazines and Sports Illustrated. A lot of old magazines, every house that you go through has stacks and stacks of National Geographics, and they're not really worth anything. And then there's a lot of magazines like that, unless you have like the first edition of Playboy with Marilyn Monroe on the cover, that's worth a lot of money. But I hadn't really thought about Sports Illustrated, so it gave me something different to research. And I didn't know there was a lot to learn about it. I didn't know it was, it was the late 50s, and there are still a lot of them around, surprisingly, since it was not a huge print run. Because people didn't, it was the first really weekly magazine covering sports like news. And it didn't just cover the personalities or tell, general stories. It was giving scores and stats and things of that nature. And people didn't think it was going to work.
Right.
But since then, and it was part of the reason, too, that spectator sports became what it did in the later half of the 20th century. There was, this was part of the push. And so it was really fascinating. And then to learn that there were Topps trading cards bound inside.
Yeah.
Now, trading cards are their whole own market, and that's something I don't do a whole lot with. Sports memorabilia, I do come across. Trading cards, coins, certain things like that, the people are so nitpicky. I worked in the comic book business, so I do those. Otherwise, I would stay away from those as well. But the cards, they came bound in on full sheets inside the magazine. There were three sheets of them, and they had Jackie Robinson and some of the great big names of the time, you know, Mickey Mantle, I believe. And kids, when they got the magazine, they loved the trading cards. So yeah, they took the sheets out, they cut them up in individual cards, and who knows what happened to them. Todd's magazine still has the trading cards in it, which is great. And that's one of the things people look for with it for Sports Illustrated. And that gives it some value. So
that's wild.
You can look at it, and it's if you look at the article, I think it's in the picture on the article too, and you can see there's some wear to it. It's a well loved copy of Sports Illustrated, but the cards are inside. They're in good shape, and that's what really makes the difference. And that gives it a value of about $300 to $500 for that magazine. Now, again, like with sports cards, you can get them graded, magazines, comic books, and they do it on a 10-point scale. And a 10 on anything is very, very rare. The highest I could find were 9.8s of the first Sports Illustrated, and those were going around $10,000.
That's awesome. And there may be some people listening right now thinking to themselves, wait a second, I remember getting this, or I remember seeing this. And that's the cool thing about some of this, is reminding people that, hey, you may have some hidden treasure somewhere in your house.
You just don't know. And that's one of the things I'll do too, is people, when they do have an estate to clear out, I'll do a walkthrough. It's worth it. I charge a little bit of money, but it's not much. And I'll come. And the thing that surprises people is the things you think are worth money often aren't. They're you know, either gone out of style or they're more common than you think. People will show me these things, and they'll be all excited, and they'll go, well, I'm sorry to disappoint. I'm in the disappointment business a lot, because there's things that, you know, people think are worth a lot of money that just aren't anymore. But as I look around, I spot the things that you would never have thought about, but where you do have some money is hanging on the wall over there,
really?
In this drawer, this piece of jewelry or whatever. And that's where the things pop up. It's the things you don't expect. So
yeah,
people don't expect that magazine sitting in a, you know, pile of old magazines could be $500 to $10,000. So
yeah, who'd have thought? Stephen Daly is joining us here inside the ESPN Ithaca studios. I did bring in recently a base from a baseball game, and that's something that you can go and purchase now for a lot of games at a lot of different stadiums. Ironically, mine was from Bernie Williams Day, when they celebrated him, retired his number, put his monument out there in Monument Park. It was a game that I attended, ironically, and it's third base from the fourth inning of that game, and it's got the jewels on every side of the base where it kind of honors Bernie, and it's got Bernie's autograph on that. So I brought that into you to have a look and give me your thoughts on that. So what do you know? What did you look into and whatnot?
Well, I looked up to these. I'd never done a game-used base before.
Yeah.
I've had helmets. I've had game-used helmets and jerseys I've seen and things of that nature. But a base was a new one for me. So I had to look into those a little bit. And I found several. I did find even some Bernie Williams ones. Now, again, it's item-specific, the value again. So Bernie Williams is pretty well-known name.
Yeah.
Longtime Yankee great. It's the games and things that it was used in, and if this was in his last game, and you know, it's a specific thing that gives it some value as well, and autographed is better too,
yeah.
So there's a lot of details to it. So if it was, I found again to go with high examples of things, Derek Jeter signed plates from like World Series games going for tens of thousands of dollars,
wow.
You know, And those are, you know, high examples. And you don't go back very far. Like with a lot of things, I talked in my article about a game-worn helmet, and there was a, you go back, and there's no game-worn helmets from like the 40s and 50s. They just wore the caps.
Right.
And so, but you can find those. The bases, you don't see those from old games very often. But the newer games, yeah, there are a lot of variations. They have the markers on it. They're marked from Yankee Stadium. And And I found several of Bernie Williams. The one I found that I thought was the same as yours, but you're saying this was from that game, was from a Lou Gehrig 75th anniversary game. I found an actual signed Bernie Williams. Oh, it says Bernie Williams Day, Gehrig's 75th anniversary, so it must have been the same day.
Maybe it was the same day. I don't remember. Yeah. Being there, I should know this, but I don't remember. 75th
anniversary of the speech, the luckiest man in the world speech.
Yeah, okay.
And this one sold on eBay in 2019 for $700. So
I'll
it's the same as your base, yep. So that gives it pretty much a one-to-one. I mean, and again, it's been a couple of years. Markets fluctuate and things change. But that's probably a pretty good neighborhood to estimate where your base would go. So
cool. And ironically, the thing is you mentioned how, you know, you can't really find some of that stuff from the earlier days of baseball. I kind of think to myself, having been to so many baseball games, it's like, well, back in the past, they'd play with the same baseball itself for basically a whole game. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They'd have the bases on the field for the entire season. Now you go to a baseball game, you have the pitchers want a new baseball for every pitch.
Right.
You've got the bases being replaced after every 2-3 innings or
so.
Is
that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny to think about how the game has grown so much to where they can afford to just do that. You know what I mean? It's kind of crazy.
If you ever watch the Antiques Roadshow, and they'll get sports memorabilia on there pretty regularly.
Yeah.
They'll get uniforms from the 50s and 60s, football, baseball, whatever. They're always patched and stained and worn and pulled.
Uh-huh.
And you know, they wore those uniforms sometimes for seasons.
Yeah.
Multiple seasons.
Yeah.
The same uniform, these guys. Now they've learned the marketing of it. You're right. All the leagues have done it. And after each game, they'll take all those helmets, have them signed, and give them to charities, sell them, auction them, do whatever. But every game, every player gets all new equipment, and they market. They've learned that there's a market for that stuff, and they're taking advantage. So
pretty crazy to think about. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Before we wrap things up, where can people find you? And obviously, you know, there is some of that contact information at TompkinsWeekly.com in your most recent article. But for those that don't have the paper right there in front of them, where can they find you?
Sure. Thanks, Nick. My business is called Ithaca Vintage. I'm actually in Trumansburg, in spite of the name. I get some grief from our T-Burgers out there about that. But I had the name first before I moved to T-Burg. And you can reach me at Stephen@IthacaVintage.com. That's Stephen with a V, and that's probably the best way. Or go to my website, Ithaca Vintage, and you can contact me there.
And again, highly recommend you check it out. The latest piece from Stephen in Tompkins Weekly, which you can pick up at newsstands now. Find it at TompkinsWeekly.com as well. Thanks so much for dropping by here in the studio.
I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
You got it. BTL's back after this.